In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with this learning about the divine will and the life that's in the divine will. That's the most exciting thing to really begin to think about. What is this life that Jesus gave to Louisa? Why is Louisa so much different than the saints? What's causing this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied? It's the life of the divine will. That's the thing that's so astonishing. And God is offering this to us. He's offering this to us so that we can begin to truly live the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. When we enter into this gift, everything changes. I was talking to someone earlier, and they were telling me how their life is not the same anymore. It's so much more filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Even the things that were bothering them for years, it's just slowly fading away. And this is something that Jesus gave to Louisa. And now the Lord wants to give this to us. So in volume 18, October 17th, 1925, a soul can remain with one mouth always opened. And when I read this, it reminds me of the birds being fed by the mother in the act of taking the celestial food. And then it says, all the opposite for the one who does not take this food of my divine will, for the one who does not take it at all, can be said that that soul disposes herself to die eternally. Eternally. So this eternal life, we have to live on this eternal life. So what Jesus says to Louisa, there's three breads, he says. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread, the food that you eat every day, and you eat it three times a day normally. The second bread is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, and the church asks that we keep holy the Sabbath and being in the state of grace by going to confession regularly, the soul can then begin to be in communion with God in a way that the Lord has planned. And the way the Lord has planned is to feed us at least once a week. That's the minimal requirement of being really Christian, keeping holy the Sabbath and receiving that second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And now Jesus says the whole reason to feed the people, Jesus says, is so that they can begin to live this eternal life, this life one with God, and to enjoy the beatific vision. And so now, after 2,000 years, Jesus is saying to us through Louisa, I want to give you the first bread, the bread that Adam had before the fall, the bread that Jesus ate and Mary ate. They were fed this food of the divine will. And now Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. Now is the time that I can give the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies to my children. So this is what the first bread is about. So Jesus says that the baby bird keeps his money, hears the mother come to the nest, opens its mouth immediately, wanting the food. And the soul who wants this food always remains with his mouth open, wanting, seeking, desiring the celestial food. And he said it's the opposite for the soul who doesn't want to take this food of my divine will. For the one who does not take it, Jesus said, at all, it can be said that that soul disposes herself to die eternally. As for the one who seldom feeds herself, and I think that soul is weak, inconstant, inconsistent, and not in good, and she's cold in love. She is lacking in this divine blood in such a way that the divine life grows as though anemic within that soul. So now Jesus says, now I want this fullness for humanity. This is what sanctification is about. It's not the saints had a sanctity of from the Holy Humanity. Basically, they prayed, they fasted, they did penance, they got great grace from God to become saints. And that's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. But to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, this has not been given to humanity. It's offered, but not the completeness of it, because the time isn't ready yet. But it's very, very close. The time is very, very close to this new and divine way of holiness. And so the Lord is getting us ready. We're receiving Holy Communion, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. We're in communion with God. That's why when the Mass ends, and the church does not want to interfere with our communion, we receive communion, the final prayer, the final blessing, the Mass is over. Why? Because the church doesn't want to interfere with our communion. And that 15 minutes from receiving the Eucharist until it's dissolved, Jesus teaches the saints, and you know, Jesus teaches Louisa more clearly, of how this is a time for deep prayer, to be in communion with God. And Jesus says it's the most powerful time of the day, if you're going to Mass every day, of being in communion with the God. It's not a time for fellowship. It's a time for communion with God. It's the same thing with the crucifix. The devil hates Jesus on the cross. The devil hates this because this is his defeat. It's God's glory. It's God's throne. So the evil one would rather have you put a heart on the cross or a word on the cross, or just leave it a plain cross with a cloth on the cross. He can tolerate that. But to see Christ crucified, it destroys him. It overwhelms him with God defeated him at the cross. And now 2,000 years later, we're in this battle, this final battle. And it's not a battle of blood, Jesus says. It's a battle of love. Those who love God will be, you know, will go to God. Those that don't love God will be against God. And we're seeing it very clearly. And we're seeing a lot of the sin of the world. It has been normalized, where that which was once considered, once known to be evil, is now good. And that which was good is now wanting to be evil. It's this new and divine way of holiness is coming for the earth. And the battle lines are drawn. A lot of us care about our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners are separated from Jesus and his church. That concerns us. But Jesus says to Louisa something so beautiful. He says, Louisa, he says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. So there's this promise. If you do what Jesus wants, what does Jesus want? He wants us to enter into his will, enter into his life, enter into his love. This beautiful gift of the divine will, he wants us to participate in so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. So he says very clearly, is your mouth always open? Are you eager to be with Jesus? Are you eager to long for Jesus? Are you eager for this first bread, the celestial food? Are you wanting to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord? Are you wanting to be there and fall in love with God? And when we say yes, he goes, good, then I'm going to help you to get ready with more grace to embrace now this first bread, the bread of the divine will. So the Lord looks at us with compassion. He's done everything for us. He shed every drop of blood on the cross. His mother witnessed the torture and death, the cruel death of her son. She knew that he had to die or we had to die, all of humanity. Either he took our place, hung on the cross in our place, that we would not be able to enjoy the beatific vision. We would never be able to enter into eternity as God planned. So Jesus has done everything. Our Lady is co-redeemed with him by being with him on Calvary. And now it's a new beginning for humanity because of what God has given to Louisa. And how great is this? How magnificent is this? This is a really a new and divine way of holiness that's begun. So in volume 18, October 24th, 1925, to repeat my passion and act in the creature is different from one who only thinks about and compassionates my pains. So here, Jesus is talking about Louisa. She repeated his passion. Jesus said to Louisa, basically, do you want to live in the divine will? Will you give your fiat to this? She said, yes. And then he goes, okay, now I want more from you. And he says, are you willing to be crucified? And Louisa said, yes. So to repeat my passion in act, in the creature, is different from the others who would only think about compassionating my pains. So here, when we read the 24 hours of the passion, if you entering into the last 24 hours of the life of Jesus, witnessed by Louisa, because there's no time or space in the divine will, we can also go back and witness it. And we thank God for Mel Gibson. What he has done is he's helped us see the passion of the Christ. It's just a sliver of what Jesus went through, but it's so important that we understand that that was our punishment. And he took it upon himself. By his stripes, we were healed. You know, his crucifixion, he took our death and gave us his life. This is why Lent is so, so important. And in praying the 24 hours of the passion, Jesus says that the place where that is done, the chastisement that is coming will be lessened in each town where the 24 hours of the passion is read. Why? He says, you're repeating his passion in act. Okay. It's to emotionally, we go through being with the Blessed Mother in her sorrow. We're being with Jesus in his, you know, crucifixion and death, participating just a little bit. So he says, the first is an act of my life, which takes place in order to repeat my pains. And Jesus says, and I feel I am given back the effects and the value of a divine life. So here he's talking about to basically be with Jesus in the 24 hours of the passion. He says, takes my place in order to repeat my pains. Okay, so we emotionally go through a sliver of what Jesus and Mary went through. But he says, and I feel that I am given back the effects and the value of this, of his life, the divine life of Jesus, with the souls who want to be with him. Now, I know there's a number of people who have said to me, and they're good Catholics. They said, I can't watch the Passion of the Christ. It's too painful for me. Well, he wanted his mother there to watch him die. He wanted his mother to feel, maybe not physically, but the his scourging, to feel his nail prints, the nails in his hands and his feet, to feel that crown of thorns. Knowing, you know, the little that we go through is nothing compared to what Jesus went through and Mary went through, the effects, the value of a divine life. And then Jesus says, on the other hand, when one thinks about my pains and compassionates me, it is the mere company of the creature that I feel. We become John, we become Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. Jesus knows that we're there when we compassionate Jesus, giving him company. But he says, what I'm looking for is, will anybody help me focus on the value of my life, my divine life that was given to each soul now. So this intimacy with Jesus that you get when you read the Passion of the Christ is essential. A lot of people have crucifixes. A lot of people wear the cross and they don't think about Jesus. They don't think about what happens. Oh, I have a cross and I wear it. You know, I'll have a cross and it's blessed. And, you know, it's to participate in this sacrifice, especially during Lent. It doesn't mean that you put nails in your hands and your feet. That's not what we're talking about. It's to Every one of us is suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And what Jesus offers to us is this suffering. Somebody was just talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I don't know. I don't know if I could go through what God is going to ask me to go through. I said, it's already done. You've already got the grace. You've got everything is ready. We're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All Jesus is saying to us is, are you ready to live the life I've offered to you? And in all of our lives, there is suffering. And we can drag our cross behind us, complaining and being negative, being worried, being fearful, being anxious. Or we could say, Jesus, I embrace this. See, that's why when we watch the Passion of the Christ, when we read the 24 hours of the Passion, we're with Jesus. And you can be there, literally. Literally. There's no time or space in the divine will. He says to Lisa, I want you to be at the creation of Adam. I want you to see the love that God had creating Adam out of dust, his child, image and likeness of God. And then he says, and I want you to see me crucified. I want you to see this. I want you to know this. I want you to understand how much I love you. And see, we can't. A lot of people, I remember this one priest, he was in bed. I visited him. He was in bed for like 18 years, paralyzed. And his arms on the pillows, his arms were literally curved like a bow for the weight of his hands underneath the pillows, or his arms under the pillows. And I was complaining. I always thought that was a gift God gave me. So I was complaining, and he said, oh, poor father. He goes, like, here is a priest who paralyzed completely. And as I was leaving, I said, Father, can I have your blessing? And he said, absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He did this without moving his hands. He did this without moving his arms. And you could feel the blessing from a priest who was completely paralyzed. It was amazing. But he showed me that our life here isn't to be complaining. I mean, our life is here to understand the love of God, to understand this great God that we have, who took our place. He took upon himself our sins. He took upon himself what's nailed to the cross is our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. That's not Jesus. That was us. That is us. And he says, this is crucified with me. It doesn't belong to you anymore. He says, I don't just want mere company. I want you to be one with me. So how do we treat our misery? How do we treat this suffering that we're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering? And it's with the fiat. It's with the fiat. Go through, if you can, the tears of Mary, the chaplet, the tears of Mary. Powerful. What Our Lady went through. And when you're reading the 24 hours of the Passion, you're getting a glimpse of where she died, Jesus said, on Calvary, basically. But it was the divine will that kept her alive. She was so crushed watching her son be crucified and die, knowing at the same time that if he didn't do this, we would never have eternal life. I mean, we'd have eternal life, but not in heaven. She says, my children, she said to Bruno in 1947, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong. And she says, and then participate in the beatific vision, where the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. See, heaven is to, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, is to be in the awe of God for all eternity. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving our God is. And he's saying, come to me and watch what I can give you. I want you to be eternally in joy and peace and happiness. And that's only with God. It's only with God. So Jesus says, but do you know in whom I can repeat the pains of my passion and act? It is the one who has my will as center of their life. So this is what God is looking for. He's looking for us to be so one with him that we can share in his passion. That's why he wants us to read the 24 hours of the passion. He wants us to enter into this. And that's why what Mel Gibson gave to us, the Passion of the Christ, and those that say, oh, it's too harsh for me to watch. It's too real. No, it's not. It's not even close. But Jesus wants us to know how much he loves us. And that's one of the things each of us should be doing with our family every Lent. At least watch the 24 hours, the Passion of the Christ. And for those who want to live in the divine will, the divine will is the center of their life. One with Luisa, we can repeat the pains of his passion. Stubbing our toe, instead of swearing, it's thank you, Jesus, I can share in your passion a little bit. Just getting a sliver, thank you, Jesus, for I could share in the thorns in a little way. See, it's to recognize the love of God. It's not that because we enjoy suffering, it's you can come down from the cross just for a little bit. I'll take, because we're not going to go through it. Luisa went through because we're not Luisa. Somebody said that to me. I'm not going to be able to go through what Luisa went through. I said, well, you don't have to worry about it. You're not. Well, Luisa went through it. And I said, and you're not Luisa. This is, Luisa was worthy to go through this suffering, this crucifixion. We're chickens. We're cowards. Are you mice or you're men? Squeak, squeak. We thank God for the three that suffer the most. Jesus suffered everything. Mary at the foot of the cross suffered with Jesus everything. And Luisa is the one who suffered the crucifixion, Jesus says, continuously. So here are the three that suffered the most. And our God is calling us to begin to live the life, that exchange of his suffering, our misery for his glory. Like, that's why he says to Luisa, I rose from the dead so that my children can rise from the dead before they die. That means peace, joy, and happiness. It means to begin to live a life that everybody around who's worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, they want their misery. And we don't want the misery anymore. We want to be one with Jesus. We want to be one with Mary. We want to be one with Luisa. How? By having the divine will as the center of our life. Jesus becomes the king of our heart. His throne is our heart. And we adore him and we love him and we praise him and we thank him and we bless him. He's not 1,000 miles away from us. He's right with us, closer, as the saints say, than our breath. So Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, have you begun to live this Lenten season, one with me, one with my mother, one with Luisa? This new and divine way of holiness comes through the suffering. And when you think about it, it's the suffering that a woman goes through giving birth to a child. The pains become more intense and more frequent until the child is born. And that's where we are in the world. It's going to get really bumpy. And a lot of people are going to be pulling their hair out, screaming in fear. That's what scripture says. They're going to be screaming in fear for what they know is coming to the earth. Our job is not to be fearful. Our job is to be with Mary at the cross. Again, in prayer and with confidence in God. That's why the final gift given to humanity, Jesus says, before I return, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. And then we, with our family, our friends, our neighbors, we could say, Lord, I'm concerned. Everyone's on the abyss of this of hell, and Lord, save them. Lord, you've redeemed them. Lord, sanctify them. And God goes, good, I'll take care of it. You do what I want. He says, have my divine will as the center of your life, like Our Lady, like Louisa, and I will do this for you. It's not fair what God did. We can give nothing back to God for what he did for us. It's not fair. But all he says is, give me your misery. Read the three appeals. Give me your misery. Give me your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints. I know how you're living. And since you're not coming to me, Jesus says, I'm coming to you. So this new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. And in this time of Lent, watching Jesus die, being with Jesus in the 24 hours of the Passion, helps us to understand it's not fair. What he has done is so, so amazing. And what do we have to give to him? And he says, all I want is your misery. All I want is your human will, so that I can reign in you, so that you can be filled with this divine light, this divine life, this divine love. So in volume 18, December 25th, 1925, if your act, this is the human act, your heartbeat, your breath, your blinking, your swallowing, your speaking, your gazing, if your act could convert into solar light as it converts into divine light, you would be able to find your particle speck of light in the light that was given to you by the sun to let you operate. Certainly not, Jesus says. However, if you know that an act has come out of you, which was incorporated into the light of the sun, then this is why I say, Jesus says, that living in the supreme volition is the greatest thing. It is to live divine life. So he says, if your act, your let's just say your step that you make can convert into divine light, you would be able to find this particle of light and this light that was given to you by the sun in order for you to operate. But it's not happening like that. He says, but if you know, this is why the knowledge of the divine will is so important. Every lesson that Jesus gives you is important. Every promise that Jesus gives you in the divine will helps us. The prophecies of Jesus in the divine will are essential. He says, if you know that an act that comes out of you, which was incorporated into the light of the sun, he says, this is why living that's in the supreme volition is the greatest thing. Because we're entering into the light, the life, the light, the love of God. This is divine life. God says, I want you to return back to this new, this divine way of living. This now, as John Paul says, the new and divine way of holiness, which Jesus says to Louisa, it's like that drip, that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. The drop of water fuses and diffuses. That drop of water becomes wine. In the divine will, your act, one with Jesus, Jesus in you, breathing in your breathing, Jesus in you, beating your heart beating, Jesus in you, walking in your walking. It's not you. It's the greatest thing, living in the supreme volition, because Jesus is with you. Mary is with you in a way that they've been waiting for from the beginning of time, if you want to say. God has waited for his children to be returned to his image and likeness, to live not a human life of misery, but a divine human life of peace, joy, and happiness, of heaven. What God has planned and what God is offering to us is here. For those who want it, for those who would like to begin to live this abundant life, Jesus says, you can begin to live this if you wish. Little by little, speck by speck, he says, you're this spark of life that he gives us in creation. This little flame, he says, I want it to join to the eternal Son of God, S-U-N, to participate and living in the supreme volition, one with God, to live that life divine that God gave to Adam. Adam was Lord of the earth. Adam was dressed in divine nobility, Jesus says. And when he sinned, he was naked. So what does Jesus do? He becomes naked on the cross, echoing Adam, losing this clothing of heaven, this divine nobility. Jesus took our place. And then he's, if you want to say, reclothed in the tomb with this divine life as he resurrects. And you can see this in the Shroud of Turin, this resurrected life of God. There's some great things that are going to come from the Shroud of Turin. As a holograph, this is what they said the Shroud of Turin is. It's a holograph. Each thread produces a entire image of the Shroud of Turin. And this is before the burns that are on it and the stains that are on it. This is what they're saying about the holograph, this divine holograph. It wasn't done by humans. When that happened, each of us will have, you know, in the future, this image of Jesus resurrecting. And the body is moving on the Shroud of Turin, if you've ever seen the document on it. His hands are moving, his feet are moving. He's coming to life. And they said, the way the image is produced is Jesus vertically in the air with the shroud around him, vertically in the air. Off the ground. And that instant, that flash, that hologram that was divinely made on the Shroud of Turin, we're going to have the image of Jesus in a way that will astonish us in the future. So again, that's just a glimpse of what God is going to give to us, to his children in the divine will. So here, I got carried away. Living in the supreme volition, Jesus says, is the greatest thing that I can give to humanity. To live the divine life of Jesus, to live the divine life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the DNA, if you want to say, of Jesus and Mary. That's what we see in Louisa. She's the firstborn, the newborn of this new and divine way of holiness. And then our prayer life changes. And again, our prayer life, Jesus teaches us how to pray the rounds of creation, pray the rounds of redemption. When we do this, when we pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, that is sanctification, because we are multiplying in the name of everyone and everything, every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So why? We can live this greatest thing, this living in the supreme volition, to live this divine life. This is what God is waiting for. So in volume 18, January 30th, 1926, my daughter, have patience. I always tell everybody I have no patience because of the bad joke. I am not a doctor. But patience is essential. We have to be patient. A lot of people, I've heard people say, I will believe the divine will when she becomes a saint. And I go, you want it now. Now, and you can have this now, this gift that God gave to Louisa. If you read, you don't have to wait. The church is going to do this. Jesus shows us very, very clearly that Louisa will be called blessed. It's going to happen. So be patient. Remember, this is for us to understand. The destiny of the world weighs on you, Louisa Picaretta. Ah, you do not know what it means to be in the state of pain together with me for even a half an hour or for 5 minutes. Remember, the destiny of the world depended on one person. The destiny of the world was first given to Adam, and he failed. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve. And they now give this life of the new Adam and the new Eve to the newborn. So what did Louisa have to go through? The destiny of the world, it says, is the state of pain together with me. This is the life of Louisa. We're going to see out of all that the saints went through, Louisa went through all the pain together. Well, how can that happen? Because she's one with Jesus. She's one with Mary. She's the newborn of the new and divine way of holiness. So he says, you don't know what it means. And he's saying this to us. You don't know what it means to have pain together with Jesus, pain together with Our Lady, even for a half an hour or even for 5 minutes. It is my real life that is repeated on earth. Jesus's real life was suffering. And that's why when you reread the nine excesses of love, we see the suffering of Jesus in the womb of Mary, what he went through right from the beginning. My real life is repeated on earth, and it is the divine life that suffers. It's the divine life that prays. It's the divine life that repairs in you. It's the divine life that transmits my very will into you so that the divine life may operate in you as it operated in my holy humanity and in my mother's holy humanity, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is your mother, Jesus says to us. Eve was supposed to be our mother, but she failed. And we've been in misery ever since. Even though Jesus redeemed us 2,000 years ago, Our Lady with Jesus, Jesus tells Louisa that these 2,000 years since the redemption took place, he says it's resting in God. So we've learned in these 2,000 years how to operate from a saintly perspective by doing the will of God. Now Jesus says, now's the time. This is what he tells Louisa. Now's the time to bring a new and divine way of holiness to the earth. So he says every 2,000 years, the earth changes. So from Adam to Noah, 2,000 years, the flood, the earth was renewed. The sin was taken care of, if you want to say. Then from Noah until Jesus, 2,000 years. Now Jesus comes and he sheds every drop of blood for our redemption. And now from Jesus until now, 2,000 years, he says, now sanctification is coming. This is where we are. This is what it is. And Jesus says, the way this has happened is with him crucified. And when the Father looks at us and the Father says, you really want to come to heaven with me. You really want heaven. And we say yes to Jesus, yes to the Father. He says, then I want you to be more like my son. This is why they're suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. Jesus went through it all, but he never was anxious. He never worried. He was never fearful. And so many people say, well, he begged God, don't let me drink this chalice. Jesus explains to Louisa, he saw in this chalice, he saw that all of his suffering, that there would be souls that would be lost. And he said to the Father, I can't take this. I don't want to see anybody lost. So the suffering of Jesus is what we begin to understand when we go through the 24 hours of the Passion. So Jesus says, I want my real life, my repeated life on earth, and it is a divine life that suffers, a divine life that prayers, a divine life that repairs in you, a divine life that transmits my very divine will into you so that the divine will may operate in you as it operated in my holy humanity and my mother's holy humanity. And do you think it's trivial, Jesus says. And keeping silent, he continued to cry. Now, this is one of the things that the crying, see, there's holy tears in crying with Jesus, with Mary, knowing that at this point, most of humanity is right on the edge of the abyss. He says, and Louisa says, in my heart, I felt in my heart breaking and see Jesus crying. And I comprehended that he was crying for me to give me the grace that his will may have full rights over me. So that's what God is saying to us right now. He's asking us to let this grace that God wants to fill us with, this grace that his will have full rights over us. It's a surrender. It's the dominion of God, not the voting dominion, the dominion that cheats and lies, but the dominion of God over us. And think about it. Out of all the names to be called something of dominion, what we see is lies and deception with the evil one. But with Jesus, the dominion is that he has full rights over us as Lord, as King, as Master, as Savior, as God. That it maintains, Jesus says, its whole life within our soul. That's what he did with Louisa. He weeps. I mean, when you see Jesus weep, he weeps. When you see Our Lady weep, you comprehend that he's crying because we're not what we're supposed to be. He wants to give us the grace that his divine will has full rights over each and every one of us. He's got to be our Lord. If we don't know Jesus, how are we going to spend eternity with him? If we don't spend time with Jesus, how can we begin to hear his voice? In front of the Blessed Sacrament, you hear Jesus, not with your ears, but you understand what he's saying to you. He's teaching us how much he loves us, how much he has planned for us. When we read the Book of Heaven and he says to us over and over and over again, my children are going to be my divine masterpieces. He says, their life is written in the book of heaven, the book of life in heaven. So I've given you the book of heaven on earth to find out how and why this is all going to happen. So when we read the book of heaven, like I said right from the beginning, our life changes. It's not the same anymore. It can't be the same anymore. We're not millions of miles away from Jesus. Jesus is right with us. Closer to us than our breath, the saints say. And he's crying, he's weeping to give us the grace that his will have full rights over us, to maintain his life whole within our soul, that his will reigns in us and our human will doesn't have any more life. What's our human will? When we go to confession, this is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do, and I don't want to continue to live like this. God goes, good. He says, you're learning. He says, and then you're back in the confession the next week. Bless me, Father, I've said. That's our human will. Jesus says, I want you to so not want this misery in you that your human will not have any more life in you. But my divine life, my divine will, my divine love will be reigning in you. So, God has got great plans. It's the mystery that he would allow us to be alive at this time to what? To begin to live this abundant life. This is an extraordinary time. This is not normal. Normal was the last 6,000 years. That 6,000 years of the rule of Lucifer. Jesus died, conquered Lucifer, on the cross, conquered Lucifer on the cross, and he now wants us to share in his divinity. That drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. And he says, get ready. He says, soon. He says this to Louisa, soon, everything's going to happen. And it's closer now than it was then. Read the 24 Hours of the Passion if you haven't. If you haven't seen the movie of Mel Gibson, watch it. Be with Jesus. Let Jesus know that he has full right. He has bought us with his precious blood. He has full rights over us. We want his life within our soul, and we don't want our human will alive anymore in us. We want to surrender that to God. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray for divine healing for everyone, all our loved ones, all our family, all our friends. We pray this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.